Well, we continue in our series in the Gospel according to John and in chapter 1. And we're just looking at a couple of verses this evening, verses 4 and 5 of that first chapter, where we read more about the Logos or the Word. John is giving us more information. He's told us that the Word was in the beginning, that this Word was with God, that He was God. He has told us that He is the Creator. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehended. Modern theories of the origin of life assume the existence of a material universe before life began. Life either evolved in some way from non-living matter on this earth, or it was transported from somewhere else in the universe to this earth. That's really the theories that are out there today, those two main ideas. And these ideas are the complete opposite of what the Bible tells us here at the beginning of verse 4 of John chapter 1. Because the Bible tells us there was the existence of life before there was a material universe. John says concerning the Logos, the eternal Son of God, translated in verse 1 as the Word. Here in verse 4, in Him was life. And then John says further, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So here we're given more information about the Word that John began with in his Gospel. This same eternal Word that he has spoken about possesses a certain kind of life. And this life is light for people, and yet as light it doesn't have the desired effect upon people. People are not able to understand it. They're not able to comprehend it. What is John really saying in these two verses? Let's try and break down what God is teaching us through John in these two verses. First of all, God is telling us about the life that was in the Son. The life that was in the Son. That is the Son of God. The Son, S-O-N. Since the Word is eternal with the Father, He, like the Father, possessed life from all eternity. And John later affirms this in chapter 5, in verse 26 that we read earlier. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. That should seem a reasonable conclusion from what John has said in the first three verses. The Son of God couldn't have created anything if He didn't Himself have life. Power and intelligence is needed to create anything. It is against all reason, against all logic, for matter to just appear ex nihilo, out of nothing, without some pre-existent, very powerful and very intelligent being. The Bible tells us in no uncertain terms what that pre-existent, powerful and intelligent being is. He is the eternal God, and He is the Word. A personal being possessing life in and of Himself. That life not dependent on anything outside it for its existence. Every other living being apart from God has to be given life to exist. The angels, the devil, demons, they all had to be created and be given life. All living creatures on this earth at some time had to be given life. They don't possess life in and of themselves. Life has to be given to them, but life did not have to be given to the Word, the Son of God. He, from all eternity, possessed life in himself. That's one part of what John is saying at the beginning of verse 4 when he says, "In him was life." Now we ask, what kind of life is meant? What is this life that John is talking about? John can't be referring to physical life, because although the Son of God, when he came into this world, took upon himself a physical body and a human nature as the eternal Son of God, the life he possessed was spiritual life. And that is affirmed by John's second statement in the verse, "And the life was the light of men." The life of the Word is also light. In the physical realm, life and light are two separate entities. Here we all are. We possess physical life. But light is something outside us. It is something around us. In this hall, light is being emitted from the fluorescent tubes above us on the ceiling. But in the spiritual realm, it is different. Life and light are one and the same thing. "And the life was the light of men." In this fourth gospel and in John's first letter, life is always used in the spiritual realm. Sometimes it is used interchangeably with the expression "everlasting life," as in John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." So with everlasting life and life referring to the same thing, it is life that is everlasting in that one verse. The best way to understand the life that the Son of God possesses is to think of it as the fullness of his essence, which one commentator describes as his holiness, truth, love, omnipotence, and sovereignty. This full, blessed life of God was present in the Word from all eternity and throughout all of the entire Old Testament period, right to this point where John is writing. And although this life is spiritual, it is also the source and the cause of all other life, physical and spiritual. The universe and all physical life owes its existence to the Word in whom from all eternity was life. How different the Bible's account of origins is from the unbelieving world's. The one who should be honored and adored and worshipped because he is the source of all life is denied, and he is defied by an unbelieving world. Had we no other verses of the Bible than these first four verses in the Gospel according to John, what a gift they would be to the world that is utterly confused about where it has come from, and comes up with all sorts of ideas to try and bring a solution to this great problem. Where has life come from? The answers are so clearly laid out in these first four verses. And we have more than these first four verses. We have all the Old Testament and the New Testament, a full revelation from God, and yet the world doesn't believe it. Men choose to believe anything else than believe this. In this century in particular, intelligent people have gone to great lengths to try to prove that this universe and all of life has come about by some other way than what is described here. And many young people brought up in Christian homes, when they go off to university, they are fed on a diet of anti-God philosophy, all presented as fact and in the name of science. And the result for many of those young people is that at best they feel confused, and at worst they abandon belief in God altogether. Could it be that someone here has their own views of origins, different from what we find in these verses, a view that leaves out God and the Word? You deny the Word and you defy the Word as the source of all life. If all that we read here is true, and what you believe contradicts it, that is bound to have detrimental consequences for you in the long run, because he who creates life knows all about the lives he creates, and he has power over them to do as he wills, as we saw from verse 3 last Sabbath evening. Power to give life and power to destroy it. Why is it that so many people are not willing to accept that the Word revealed to us here is life and he is light? Well, John tells us why in verse 5. And that verse reveals a stark contrast between Christ, the Word, and the world and men in this world. From the life that was in the Son, we see secondly, from this fifth verse, the lack of light in men. The lack of light in men. Verse 5 says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The fact that the word Christ shines tells us that he doesn't just possess light in and of himself. He emits his light. It radiates from him. It shines forth into this dark world. In fact, verse 9 of this passage tells us that the Word, or Christ, is himself light. The Word is light, the Word possesses light, and the Word emits light. Everything about the Word is light. If you think on the sun in the sky, it is a physical light. When we look up on a clear day, a bit like today, at least as I was travelling to Carrickfergus today, it was a lovely morning, clear blue sky, lovely sun in the sky. And that is a great light, the sun. The sun also possesses light in and of itself. The sun emits light, so that wherever it shines, darkness gives way to that light and we are able to see. And that's just like the Word John is talking about, only in the spiritual rather than in the physical sense. And just as without the physical sun in the sky, this world would be in continual darkness, so too, spiritually, without the light of the Word, this world is in darkness and is itself darkness. But here is where the comparison between the light and in the sky and Christ who is the light breaks down. If we look at that fifth verse again, it says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In other words, the darkness did not give way to the light. Here is a problem. The darkness to which John refers is a severe darkness. It is a stubborn darkness. And it is a spiritual darkness. It's the darkness of mankind fallen in sin to such an extent that he is spiritually blind, even spiritually dead. And let me now give you another comparison. On the brightest summer's day, the sun can shine in the sky from morning till sunset, but a blind man can't enjoy it, and he cannot benefit from its light. A dead man laid in an open coffin outside in the middle of June will no more perceive the warmth of the sun shining upon his body than if he were buried 6 feet under the ground. And that's the comparison we have to make with the Word who is the light. Man comes into this world being given physical life and receives physical light from the sun, but he is spiritually blind and spiritually dead. And that's what John means by darkness in verse 5, so that man is not able to see this great light, the light of the Son of God. John says the darkness did not comprehend it. The word for comprehend in Greek can mean overtake, but overtake is not a good translation in this particular verse, for it doesn't fit in with the context of the rest of the passage. The Greek English lexicon gives the translation of the verb here as to make one's own, or to take into oneself, or to appropriate. Any of these terms would be good translations into English. It can also mean to lay hold of with the mind, to understand, to perceive, or to learn, or to comprehend, as it is in the New King James Version. God, through John, is saying the darkness, man in his sinful state since the fall, was not able to lay hold of the light of the Logos with his mind. He wasn't able to perceive it, for he has lost his capacity for spiritual perception. It's not that there is some kind of defect in the light. There was never any defect in the Word. He is pure light in himself, and he emits pure light into this dark world. The problem is with us. We come into this world of darkness as darkness ourselves, lacking any ability to perceive what is spiritual. Just as a dead man who isn't yet buried has no perception of the light all around him, so we come into this world with no perception of the light of the Word, with no kind of spiritual perception whatsoever. There's no light in us, and there's no spiritual life in us by nature. In fact, it is even worse than that. The unregenerate person doesn't just lack light, they are opposed to the light of the Word. We see it in the world. People will not have the light of the word. They will oppose it. When by some means or other they are pressed to come into the light and receive the light, they oppose it. When Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world, the religious leaders, the very ones you might have expected to embrace the light and to receive the light and say, oh, this is all that we've been waiting for all these years. The light has come into the world. Well, what did they do? They opposed that light. They rejected Christ. And in the end, they had him put to death. That's the extent of this world's darkness. And it's not as though the world has since then welcomed the light. The world is still opposed to the light of the word. The world still rejects Christ. It's still the case that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness simply does not comprehend it. How then is there any hope for anyone if all are in such spiritual darkness? And yet we know that there is hope. And in this regard, we consider thirdly the love that God displays. The love that God displays. Admittedly, we don't read of this love that God displays in our text in verses 4 and 5, but it's later in the passage we get a glimpse of it in verses 12 to 14, where John begins to give some more explanation about this light and how he is received. From verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, not everyone rejected him. Not everyone opposed the light or rejected the light. John and other eyewitnesses were able to see his glory. That is, they saw in him true light. They saw in him the attributes of deity shining through the veil of his human nature. How were they able to see this? Yet many of the religious leaders at that time who heard Christ's words and saw his work couldn't see this and remained in darkness. How was that? Well, John says such people who were able to see the light were born of God. They were born of God. Later in chapter 3, Jesus, in a conversation with a Pharisee called Nicodemus, speaks of this being born of God as being born again and being born of the Spirit. For you to be able to comprehend the light, the Logos, there must be a radical change brought about within you. And that change is not something that you can initiate because your darkness, it has to come from outside. It has to originate with God himself. It's the role of the Spirit of God to bring about such a change. And in some people he does. Let me try to illustrate it like this. At this time of year, there are mornings when I prepare the wood burner in the living room of the manse to provide heat. You know, like everybody else, we're trying to cut down on the oil and get other means of heating the place. So each morning I would clean out the wood burner, then I would crumple up pieces of paper and I would put the paper on the grate. And then on top of that, I lay on some light pieces of wood. And then on top of that, I lay on a few coals. And then I say to Zita, Zita, will we put on the fire? And she might say, well, it's not that cold today. Just leave it for another day. So we have the wood burner ready for lighting. But while it remains unlit, it's just a pile of materials bundled together. There's no heat, there's no life, there's no light from it. The next day it's colder, and Zita says, "Let's put on the wood burner." And I strike a match, put it to the paper, and within a few minutes there's a complete change. There's a blazing fire giving out light and heat, and the whole of the downstairs of the manse starts to heat up. And that match that I strike to light the materials in the wood burner is a bit like the Holy Spirit. He is the match that lights up your soul. And without his input, we would all remain dark and lifeless spiritually. There is no light in any of us, and we're not able to comprehend Christ, who is the light, unless the Holy Spirit, as it were, strikes and ignites a fire within our souls. When God, out of love and mercy, by his Holy Spirit, at some point in time in our lives, sets alight your soul, then you become a different person. And you who are believing, you know this, you've experienced this. You become light yourself. And you see Christ as he really is, the light of the world. And you see things the unbeliever can't see. You are given faith to see God and to see Christ. And you have no difficulty believing that God, through Christ, created all things. And you see all these theories that the world has about how this world and the universe come into being. It's all a lot of nonsense, because I have the light. I know it's true. I know 100% it's true. And you know it because the Spirit has set your soul alight. Or as someone who's, you may have read or heard it preached, it's as though a switch goes on. There's a bulb inside your head, in your soul. It's switched on and suddenly there's light and you see everything in a completely different way. You're able to distinguish between darkness and light. You have a new knowledge of sin and a new awareness of it. You're able to distinguish between sin on the one hand and righteousness on the other. You have a fear of God that you never had before. The Spirit gave you light. No one needs to convince you anymore about whether there is life after death. You need no more convincing about heaven and hell. All of this is revealed to the child of light. And all of these things are big questions to those who have not received the light. You understand that Christ the light came to die on the cross to save you to eternal life. You were once blind spiritually, but now you are given new spiritual eyes to see all these things, and it is all from God. What great love this is, that God empowers some to comprehend the light. On our own we can't, but God, by his love and mercy, enables those to whom he wills to see it and to believe to eternal life. If someone here doesn't comprehend this life and this light, who is Christ, God's word says to you that you are in darkness. If you're not to go into an eternal and much worse darkness than the present darkness of this world, then you must find Christ. You have to find Christ, who is the light. Don't sit back and say, "Well, there's nothing I can do if the Spirit doesn't reveal Christ to me as light." The Spirit uses means. The Spirit uses knowledge, gospel knowledge, such as you've been given this evening. And if you ignore that knowledge, and you think little of or discard that knowledge, it is unlikely that the Spirit will give you light. But if you truly see Christ, if you seek to know the truth about him and about the salvation he promises to those who seek him, it is very likely that the Spirit will do his work in you. So will you seek Christ that you might find him this evening? For you have been given this light, and you comprehend the light who is Christ. See what privileges you possess. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But you have comprehended it, and you do comprehend it. And since you comprehend it, that means that you yourself are light, not darkness. Christ shares his light. He reveals his light to those whom the Spirit enlightens. And as light, you are a new person. And your task day by day is to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As your light shines in this dark world, the Spirit may light up the souls of others you witness to. God will be glorified, and you will be assured that although the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, you have been given this true light who is Christ, and thus you comprehend it to the saving of your soul. Amen.